Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Here we go on a Tuesday. Welcome in, hanging out for the next 4 hours. Steven Serta, Cody Tapp, Alex Gold with you. A little over an hour from now, we'll unveil the Wonderlic scores for our 6-10 combine. We'll have everybody in studio again. Yesterday, we did the broad jump. We'll revisit those results before we get to the Wonderlic a little bit later on, 11-10 to be exact. Very, very nervous about this. Cody's feeling great. Serta and I are in the same boat.
You keep saying great. I said I feel good.
No, you're feeling great. No, you're feeling good. Again, plenty of confidence. So if your score is not top three, I think you should be very disappointed today.
If I'm not in the 20s, I'm sad at myself.
And it's going
to
be...
I need to be in the 20s.
I think pretty embarrassing for me today.
Why?
I think the code is going to work out very well. The score is going to work out very well for me.
Well, I got bad news, man. The broad jump, you finished what? Middle of the pack? Bottom fourth, technically? Because you finished fourth, but there's a seven. So you technically finished in the bottom half of all the contestants. It really depends on where you draw the demarcation line. So for me, it just depends on whether or not you have the kind of confidence it feels like you would. Like I said, I feel like, for me, I feel moderately okay about the possibility that I did well today. And if I don't finish in the 20s, I will be disappointed.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out at 11:10. Now, when it comes to where we're at with the CBA and going forward, I thought always anytime there was discussion about this 17th game and if there was going to be an international game as your 17th game, I figured it automatically meant that you were going to have an extra bye week potentially built in your schedule. It makes sense, does it not? All of a sudden go to 19 weeks of the season or 18 weeks of the schedule and you're going to have an additional bye week. It seems to make sense if you're going to have to go play overseas, give them the bye week after that to make up for it a little bit. But Albert Breer and a few other reports yesterday suggest that, one, that may not actually be in the cards for this, and also the fact that the proposed CBA would limit the international games. And when I say limit, you're thinking, oh, they're going to limit it to like, oh, two or three. No, limit it to 10 per year through 2025, and that players would get an extra $5,000, which I, like, really? I understand for a team that's over $200,000 and everything like that, but
$5,000. Pick up some Big Ben merchandise while you're in London.
$5,000 when these guys, even on the low end, are making, what's the lowest check on a $30,000, $45,000?
I mean, you're talking about, you know, a league minimum that hovers pretty high in the NFL. And under the new CBA, I think the new league minimum would be around $1 million. So if you're saying $1 million divided by, well, I guess now it would be, what, 17 games, not 16 in that hypothetical. $58,823.
And so $5,000 extra.
So it's a 10% bump the one game. It's not miserably bad.
Like, yeah, I'll take the extra $5,000 on my paycheck coming up like this Friday. But for these guys, I mean, $5,000 for an extra game, same wear and tear on your body, on top of just the 17th check that you're getting, you're also getting another $5,000. So really,
yeah, you're not really at further risk just because of travel.
Like potentially, I think, I mean, you're traveling, you're a little bit more worn down, perhaps.
I mean, maybe, like, if you're talking jet lag or something, sure. But I don't think it puts you at greater injury risk. The $5,000 is just really like, hey, here's something for the inconvenience.
It's a shorter week, is it not? If you're not going to have that bye week on the back end of it.
Here's the thing. I think so much of the way they're going to do the international scheduling is going to still be around the bye week. Here's the problem. Your bye week is going to get sucked up a couple of days of getting back from wherever you're going. So if you go to Mexico City, if you go to London, we've seen these international games are already surrounded by bye weeks. I think the way they'll do it is your bye week is the week after you travel for this international game. And that's how they'll do a majority of the schedule going forward for these teams, other than the Jaguars, who essentially have the option to put in as many dumb international games as they want. The problem is the league thinks this is growing the game, and instead what they need is youth sports in those countries. People have done the research on this before. Just putting football games in London doesn't create the same level of fandom for a sport that they have like over there for soccer. You actually have to have people playing the sport to drive interest.
Yes, I understand that, but I also think the NFL, that works for if you're trying to truly, you know, grow. I think that's more important for, you know, hockey. Like when we talk about here in the Kansas City area, for example, even right, the need for more ice right around the area and the need to build youth sports for hockey. If you want to get more interest in hockey in the Kansas City area, for the National Football League, I don't know if that's as important in London as it, like if they had a team all of a sudden in London permanently.
That would drive a lot of fandom in its own right.
And if this isn't if you're London, and I know international doesn't always mean just London. We know Mexico City, or there might be other markets that the NFL decides to play some of these games in. But when I see that they're going to go to 8 international games, there's 5 now each year. Right? You got the 4 in London, the 1 in Mexico City. They want to go from 5 to 8. If, let's say, it goes from 4 in London, and all of a sudden you're going to have 6 in London, and eventually maybe even 8 in London specifically.
You pretty much have a London team?
You basically have a team without the direct hometown allegiance to one, but you know you're going to have maybe one year you're going to have the Chiefs come to town, and maybe one year, that same year, you're going to also have, you know, the Jags come once or twice, but you're also going to have the Cowboys, and maybe you're going to have the Rams, you're going to have the Giants, and so you're going to have some of the big stars continually coming through your country, your city, and your country over there as well if you're in England. So I think that'll be a huge boost for the game in its own right if you're going to increase the international games. Now, as a fan here in Kansas City, anytime you talk about losing home games for the potential to go play international, I think we all hate that idea, especially if you're a season ticket holder.
But if you're 17 games, you're not really losing the games.
It's going to be unbalanced, though, because I mean, there's still going to be the chance of, even in this 17th game, you'll be on a four-year rotation. That's the idea that's being floated out there as well. Two international games, and then you'd be a home team one time, away another time, and in a home game and away game. So you'd have 4-year rotation, and you know every 4 years or in that 4-year period, you're going to have two games over internationally at minimum.
That sucks.
On the 17th game only.
It's weird. It creates so many problems for the league because of protection for players, like you mentioned, because of the 17th game. But on top of that, you are completely taking them out of their routine. And if there's one thing NFL coaches like, NFL players like, it is some semblance of routine. We like a routine in radio. I like sitting down in front of my computer around the same time.
Oh, I thought you meant like
to get ready for this.
I like my donuts and Gatorade in the morning.
No, you clearly like those two things. Maybe more than, I don't understand still why you
buy the donuts individually. It's warmed up. You notice I'm not doing the hot chocolate thing anymore. I told you, it's just when it was cold out. No
Gatorade
more hot chocolate.
Not a morning beverage.
Oh, sure, it can be. And having a Red Bull is better, and a Rooster Booster fountain drink is better?
It's definitively more of a morning beverage.
Whatever
Serna drinks. He drinks like a Mountain Dew energy drink.
Kickstarts.
That's more morning than a Gatorade?
Yeah.
By a long
this
shot. Way,
this is kind of has some sugar. It's sweet. It's got 21 grams of sugar in it.
Yeah, I don't think...
That's like
nobody gets up in the morning and they're like, I gotta have a Gatorade right now.
No, but I'm not an energy drink guy anyway.
I know, but
I won't do Red Bull because whenever I have it, it just reminds me of drinking alcohol. Way too many Vegas bombs.
So you need a caffeinated beverage or a sugary beverage for the morning.
I won't drink pop in the morning.
Why not? Okay, well, that's the same thing.
I like
thing.
The taste of Gatorade.
I think you should just have juice.
Thank you. You want me to have OJ every morning?
Your whole thing on Gatorade was that it has sugar. You think juice doesn't
have
sugar?
No, but I like
sugar?
The taste. Gatorade is one of my favorite drinks.
Do you hate orange juice or something?
No.
You said it like it's mind-blowing.
But I don't want to bring in...
someone would drink it.
It was so bad that I suggested juice.
Well, because I don't want to bring in... It's a little too acidic to have on a consistent basis for me in the morning.
I like OJ
if I'm having it with breakfast. OJ I need to have with a breakfast, like pancakes and waffles, like an actual breakfast.
You've never sounded older than when you said it's a little too acidic on its own.
Yeah,
it's a little like a 67-year-old complains over a tab of, you know, like He's got some Rolaids that he's peeling off of the foil. Like, they're not even in a plastic jug. They're coming out of the foil.
I like OJ. I like buying the big things of naked juice. Pour myself a little glass of that in the morning.
Yeah. I also like iced tea in the morning. But, you think that's weirder than Gatorade?
Iced tea in the morning is weirder than having Gatorade at 7:30
in the
morning.
We'll let the Smitty's Garage Burger Beer text line
6930. I'm very curious what the people think about this.
Solve that. Iced tea is much less of a weird.
Do you think in London, is it always iced tea in the morning?
Or hot tea. They drink tea a lot more often there on the international games. I guess back to that, which you're trying to steer me to, which makes sense. Again, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, when you're going to switch up those international games, the fact that teams don't lose a home game, but some teams get them in more seasons, it just feels complicated. Like, if you're going to go for 17, why didn't you just give up more concessions to the players? Go to 18, pay them more money, treat it right, give them all the other stuff they want, and actually get the schedule that makes sense.
Well, I think they want to leave something on the table as well. I mean, I think we all agree.
16 international games a season, right? One for every team.
Well, that was at one point was discussed. At one point that was absolutely discussed. And I think going forward, you're going to get to 18 games overall, not in this cycle, but at some point down the road. And there's been discussion for years that they wanted ultimately not just to get to 17, but they wanted 18. And the playoff, it wouldn't surprise me at one point if we see the playoffs expanded in 10 years as well, even more so than what it's already at. As crazy as that may sound to people. So there's always constant expansion discussion, international expansion discussion as well. I'm curious what other cities they potentially are willing to play in as well. If you're going to go to 8 international games, and eventually that's going to increase as well, we all presume just London, Mexico City, clearly they really like playing there. What's that other city? What's the other country that the NFL is thinking about going to? Do you have games in Toronto, or is that too close to Buffalo?
You got to stop games and put teams there. Games will only make you so much money. You know what will actually increase your revenue in the NFL? More teams. That's what you're talking about with more playoff teams. Put more teams in the NFL. Put an actual team in London. That's the create an international division. That's the only way to actually make this work because you need the relocation. You need the startup fees. To start a new NFL franchise, they would charge somebody relocation fees is $550 million. Like, if they were to start a new NFL franchise now, let's say, like, the last time the Panthers came into the league, I have to imagine they'd be charging teams between $800 million and $1 billion just to become an NFL franchise at this point.
The Rams and Chargers, for them to move to LA, of course they did that back in 2017, $645 million. So, and that's always going to continue to go up.
And they gave a discount to the Raiders because they're
$378 million.
Yeah, they're poor.
You see what the Raiders did recently? So you mentioned they got a discount there. The land that they bought, they got a major discount on it for the stadium or for their team facility, not the stadium. And then they turned around and sold it to somebody and then leased it back, and they ended up making a fortune off of it. They got a great deal from the city. And then they sold it for a major profit to somebody, and then now they're just leasing the building back. So, like, they totally screwed over, I think it's Henderson, Nevada, yeah, NFL.
Smart. Yeah. I mean, and that's it. Like, the Raiders are poor, so they got a discount. Everyone else had to pay it. But it just doesn't make any sense to continue down that road. It just doesn't.
Text line, actually more people siding with the Gatorade in the morning.
No way.
I'm on Gold's side. If energy drinks are apparently a morning drink, then Gatorade should be as well. Someone else says, I'm with you. Gatorade or body armor in the morning. Never drink soda or energy drinks.
Soda in the morning is brash.
Ah, someone else understanding the acidic nature of OJ. You see that? I'll let you read that one. People understand. Gatorade in the morning. Orange juice, much more acidic. His brother ended up with cavities because he drank too much OJ in the morning.
0% chance he can prove that.
Sounds pretty.
His brother probably also eats like Skittles. Or, come on. We can't prove that.
Drinks a lot of pop.
Yeah, we can't prove that.
Apparently they hate iced tea in England. Really? Okay.
They prefer warm tea. But they like, it's fine. We don't have to get into the tea preferences of England at the moment. But yes, generally speaking.
One of these days.
Gatorade is a weird morning beverage choice to me. But maybe not. I'm drinking water at the moment.
Did that, but going back to like high school, college, I was always water. Yeah, I've always stopped off at the convenience store and always rolled with it.
Okay. Okay. I'm done with the judgment on it. It's clearly your morning beverage of choice. It's not for me. I don't drink energy drinks either, if you've noticed.
Well, I don't even know honestly, I have no idea what you have this, again, Yeti thing that just has your name on it.
It always has water in it.
Just water.
My other morning beverages
are boring.
Water, coffee, juice.
Okay.
Iced tea. That's it. That's pretty much the four in rotation you just heard. It's that or nothing.
Elsewhere in the NFL, I think everybody's just waiting. March 18th might be the start of the new league year, but everybody's just waiting around to find out what's going to happen with Tom Brady. And this offseason as a whole is interesting because we have all these veteran quarterbacks that appear to be available, whether it's going to be via trade or free agency. We've gone through and predicted where we see some of these guys going. Peter King says that 20 to 30 players in the league, their futures are kind of in a holding pattern. And that means multiple teams are in a holding pattern, waiting to find out what in fact is going to happen with Tom Brady. This was Peter King.
Tom Brady is the domino that's paralyzing the entire NFL. You know, and until people know what happens there, look at how many people are being held hostage, you know, from Derek Carr to Bill Belichick to, I don't know. I mean, just there's 30 really big people in the NFL who their lives are going to be affected an awful lot by whatever Tom Brady chooses to do and whatever teams choose to go after him. Now, there are some teams that are out there who are, quote, in the Tom Brady hunt, end quote.
Now, I wouldn't be waiting because, again, I've told you, I think he ends up in New England, stays back there with the Patriots. I think a lot of this stuff that has come out in the last week or so has been put out there on purpose by Tom Brady and Tom Brady's team, if you will, and putting some pressure on the Patriots. I still think he ends up there. So I would say you shouldn't be in a holding pattern. You should move on as if you are not going to get Tom Brady. With that said, there's a few teams, like if I'm the Colts, given my quarterback situation, given the roster I have, given the division that I'm in, I would be waiting if you truly think that Brady is not going to be in New England. Even though there's reports that the Colts haven't talked to Brady's camp, the Colts are one of the few teams where, to me, they can afford to actually wait and hold up their plans a little bit. It's not as tied to that. They have a quarterback under contract. I think they're going to... Jacoby Brissett's not good enough, but they're able to pivot away from that if needed, even if Brady falls through. Phillip Rivers maybe is who they're talking with. There's other teams where I think it hurts them to wait. Like, for instance, the Raiders, where you would need to trade Derek Carr. You're not going to bring in Carr. You're not going to have Carr and bring in Tom Brady. So that hurts you by waiting more because the value, anything you would possibly get for Derek Carr, the longer you wait, if you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and even if Tom Brady ends up there, you're hurt. You know, it's costing you going forward. So the teams where they have a guy where they wouldn't just get rid of anyway, whereas Brissett, even if it's not Brady in Indianapolis, there's a good chance he's not the starter next year. If the Raiders don't get Brady, I think we all, I can't speak for you. I think we believe Carr would be the starter then. It's either Brady or Carr. It's not going to be Brady isn't that option, and then, okay, they're going to still move on from Carr. I think it's Brady or it's Carr starting next year for the Raiders. So I think there's some teams that it hurts them more by waiting than others.
Teams are stupid if they're waiting. What the hell are you waiting on a 43-year-old quarterback for? The Raiders are not better with Tom Brady. Yeah, I said it. As an ardent critic of the level of quarterback Derek Carr is, the Raiders are not better with Tom Brady than they are with Derek Carr next season. Notice I did not say their entire careers because I'm not a fool. The 49ers, who Deion Sanders was predicting that maybe they were going to cut ties with Garoppolo and go with Brady, are not better with Tom Brady than they are with Jimmy Garoppolo. The Patriots are definitely better with Tom Brady than any other option that I can't foresee at the moment. And the Titans are probably a little better with Brady, but it's only about half the teams. And you just have to understand that either he's going to sign with you or he isn't. And you got to determine that based on the conversations you're happening now. And if not, you got to just move on. Because if you're just going to sit around waiting for a 43-year-old to come save the day, I think people want to liken this to when Peyton Manning had become a free agent. But Peyton Manning was still coming off of some really big years offensively and clearly had some years still ahead of him, including an MVP year, right? Like, he clearly had some great years ahead of him. Tom Brady's not having any great years ahead of him. He can be a consistent performer for you, whatever. You can find that at quarterback anyway. Why would you hold up all your plans in this league? Teams are stupid.
He's not going to have a great year, Cody, but you look at the LA Chargers, the marketing angle to sell tickets potentially. It is worth the opportunity to sell more tickets to hold on and wait for Brady. Right now, Tyrod Taylor is your option at quarterback if you're the LA Chargers. I'll throw them with the Colts as well. There's a couple of those, 8 to 10 teams that people think are realistic for Brady to end up on if it's not in New England. There are a couple of those that it makes way more sense to wait. It's worth the little bit of risk, and I think some don't have as much of a risk. The Raiders, there is a little bit more risk for what I explained to you. The Titans, there's a little bit more risk potentially in waiting because you got to decide franchise tag.
Quarterback. Yeah,
you got to figure out with Tannehill and Derrick Henry. But there's some of these teams out there where Yeah, your other you can be a little more patient. You're willing to wait. He's not going to have great years going forward. Doesn't mean he's not an upgrade for some of these teams, though. And there's the marketing angle, and a lot of these teams that have struggled to sell tickets that we've named off as well.
Yeah, but Brady's not going to. What's he?
You don't think that? You don't think?
No, no. He solved that problem for what?
Tampa.
12 months, 18 months.
Yeah, but he's only there for. You're only signed to a 2-year deal anyway.
Yeah, so he doesn't solve your problem in the long term. You know what actually solve your problem in the long term for selling tickets if you're the Chargers? Getting an actual quarterback who can play. Now, a young quarterback that people
they need to compete with the Rams in that in entertainment market in LA now. They can't wait 4 years for a guy to develop. So you go ahead and you get Tom Brady for a year or two. You still have to find that quarterback of the future, but it buys you a little bit of time. The Chargers are in big trouble in that revenue split that they have with the Rams and that new stadium that's opening up. They are way behind the Rams in terms of sponsorships and ticket sales. They're getting lost in the shuffle. It's already tough to compete in LA entertainment wise. There's just so many options, sports and non sports out there.
Yeah. That's their own fault for sure. Trying to be the second team in
LA. Yeah, but doesn't mean you don't try to fix
market.
It. It's their own fault. Yes.
No,
they
know.
Created the problem, but you don't just sit back and say, well, we created this problem. Let's not do anything about it.
I know, but it's like putting a Band-Aid. That's like a Band-Aid on a very serious, like, certain needs amputation, and I'm just going to, like, stick a Spider-Man Band-Aid on it. Like, it doesn't solve the problem. Like, their problem in LA runs deep. Brady doesn't even begin to solve their issues with ticket sales on that end. For me, I just wouldn't be caught up. Like, if I were any team right now, I'm not getting caught up in waiting for Tom Brady. I just think I'd rather excite fans in a different way, including drafting a quarterback, even if that means. Like, if the Chargers, they could have kept Phillip Rivers. Now, he wasn't selling tickets, but he wasn't hurting them in that department either. It's really a short-term solution. It just doesn't solve the problem.
Phil's got the dead arm, though.
Yeah, Brady still has a little juice left.
Phil can't sling it the way that he used to. Brady can still throw the ball. He just needs an offense that's going to allow him to go sideline to sideline and just move the football down the field. He's not like and that's why I think the Raiders are actually a good fit for him, because the Raiders aren't trying to beat you downfield all the time. They're just trying to run the football and move sideline to sideline. But no team should be putting their offseason plans on hold waiting for Tom Brady. Also, this is totally all orchestrated by Bill Belichick, making every team in the NFL wait on him. And it's fantastic.
Wait, you think that Belichick is manipulating the entire league to try to force teams to wait on Tom Brady, even though he thinks Tom Brady's coming back?
If there's any team in the NFL that could do that, like, Tom, we know you're coming back to New England, but let's slow play this a little bit. Let's mess with everybody else in the league. Then he'll go back to New England. Then some owner will get pissed off and say that the Patriots were intentionally doing this, and Bill Belichick will just give him the finger and say, prove it.
So I won't go that far on the conspiracy route.
That's
there. But I am on the same page in terms of some of the reports that are out there about Brady not going back to New England. And people said, I'd be stunned. And Jeff Darlington saying there's no chance essentially that he's going back to the Patriots. I think some of that is a bunch of BS. So I won't go quite as far as Serta, but I do think there is some truth that Brady's just playing this out, but mainly also playing the Patriots a little bit too, like knowing that he's going to end up going back there, but trying to get that offer upped a little bit.
I know we have years of the Patriots manipulating the system in every conceivable way to get any possible advantage, but isn't even this a little above what they are capable of doing?
No, they're better at this than everybody else is.
They're the best cheaters. Well, or this is a manipulation. This would not be cheating. This would just be.
But they manipulate all the time. It's like Bill Belichick knowing the rules better than the referees do, and he manipulates them in game, which we have seen him do over and over again.
God, I mean, look, it would be kind of genius, because most of the teams that we just talked about being serious consideration for them, one of them is the team that just beat them in the playoffs, right?
Tennessee, yep.
So, like, if they're trying to, like, screw over a team to try to convince him to not take a quarterback, to not franchise Tannehill because Brady's going to come, and then he doesn't, and then Tennessee just gets stuck with, oh, God, who's going to be the best available free agent quarterback? Nick Foles at quarterback because they didn't wait too long, then, yeah, I mean, it is genius, but I don't know. I still feel like it's just Brady and Belichick finally maybe deciding they want to part ways. And in the end, they'll be like the couple that broke up a few times and still end up back together because they think they're going to break up. Then they see what other options are out there. They hit Tinder for a few days and they're like, nah, I had a pretty good thing. I'm going to go back to this. That's what it feels like is the end game of this.
20 to 30 players in the league waiting on Tom Brady's decision. The new league year starting on March the 18th. Someone we have not seen yet on the diamond this spring. And baseball, you saw it yesterday, what you should be doing with your television product going forward.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up at 11:10. Some of the other guys in studio with us as we unveil our 6-10 combine results. Today, it is the Wunderlich.
I think Serta beat you, which means you have to... Remember, we have extra on the line.
Thank you.
Not only
I'm well aware.
I don't think I did well.
You're going to have to spin? You think you have to spin the wheel?
I mean, I'm just...
No, you guys both got a higher... There's no need. I mean, I'll be honest. Just realize that I'm going to have to spin the wheel on Friday. It doesn't matter.
That helps.
He may have taken a little bit more time, but he knows he probably got them correct.
No, I don't.
So we'll find out. Last year, Serta had a 23 on the Wunderlich, and we'll go through some of the other results from last year with the guys. Reminder, though, our 6-10 combine results, 11-10, brought to you by Old Shawnee Pizza. Thanks to our friends over at All In Sports for the help. There will also be video on our Twitter account at 11:30 at 610 Sports KC. I'm told the video is great. We were told by the boss that the video is pretty funny because we were filmed while we were taking the Wunderlich. So you might see me counting on my fingers a few times. I don't know. Embarrassing myself.
This one? The like old like elementary school trick?
You know,
trick?
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 15. Yeah, it's going to be one of those.
Okay.
I think it's gonna be, it's
You're
gonna
not
be
allowed
one
a calculator for the Wunderlich.
You are not.
So you know.
That would make things a little bit easier. Just a little bit with some of the fractions, among other things, that we were utilizing in that. But on to the Royals a little bit. As Serta mentioned at the top on his update, Royals are in action tonight. They had the day off yesterday, and someone, as we are on March the 3rd, someone we haven't seen really yet, except you want to count maybe an intra-squad game, is Adalberto Mondesi. He was in action on Saturday for the first time all spring, but overall we really haven't seen him yet, and we're 3 weeks away from the start of the season. I think even day one of spring, we were talking about him. I said, I'll get a little more concerned if we get, you know,
later on.
Yeah, 2 weeks out. Let's check in at the 3 week mark. Here we are at, you know, with the 3 week mark till the start of the regular season. Still haven't seen him. The intra squad game on Saturday was a nice step in the right direction. It's the first time he's actually been in any sort of game whatsoever, but that tells me he's on the right track. I'm not as, I guess, nervous about this as maybe others are when it comes to, all right, what are we waiting on here? Is he not going to be good to go for opening day or anything like that? I think we're still too far out. It's 3 weeks to go, and he has seen at least some live action. If we are checking in another week or so and he's not been in a spring training game at all, then maybe I get concerned. But right now, this doesn't say a whole lot to me. I think they're just being very precautious with this whole deal and his shoulder, that surgery that he had in the offseason.
I'm worried he's not going to be ready to start the year, which will be an interesting roster decision for them. They don't need versatile players. Nicky Lopez can play short. Witt can play second. And then Brett Phillips or Bubba Starling can play center field in the meantime. But when you're actually looking at the team, I'm a little bit worried he's not going to be ready. And that is because, for the same reason you just said, I think we both kind of felt like going into it, all right, just give it a few, like, whatever. Just give it a few weeks. He'll be fine. And now we're a few weeks in, and you're like, give it another week. I'm like, camp breaks in 3 weeks. The season starts in about 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
That's still enough time that he can get in game action, get ready, and play. But as of his last game action, the intra-squad game, Josh Vernier had said, our Royals insider, that as part of that game, he said it on Bink at Night last night, that as part of that game, Matheny was still telling him to go like, hey, just get your timing down. I don't want you ranging for baseballs. Just like stand there, right? If the ball comes to you, field it. But don't be going out of your way to try to get the baseballs. Now, he's not particularly good at dialing that stuff back, which is actually, I don't think a knock. It's difficult because I think you tell players, hey, don't overextend yourself. We need you in the long haul. And then they still do that. But I think there's a chance he's not going to be ready. But even that being said, here's the funny thing about Mondesi. I'm still so high on his talent that even though I'm telling you he's a max effort guy, sometimes he gets hurt, I'm not sure he's going to be ready for the start of the season, I actually still think they have a chance to really capitalize on where he is right now and still think They should do what other teams in Major League Baseball are doing right now and buy up all of his arbitration years and tack on two more of the free agent years after it. He's a free agent in 3 years after this season. I know that's a long time from now. You're saying 4 years? I'm already locked up for the next four seasons of Adalberto Mondesi, and you're saying go more? Yeah, because it's your only chance to do it cheap, and if you do it now, what's really the risk? Was Mondesi ever going to get off the roster in the next three seasons anyway? No. Bobby Witt Jr. is a shortstop and could be up around that time, so I'm talking about extending him into that trouble, but by then you could have somebody at second. Bobby Witt could be a third baseman by then. We don't know. We just don't know. You can't plan baseball like you know what the next guy is going to do in the minors 5 years from now. And so
yeah, you worry about that.
I'm telling you, I'd legitimately sign Mondesi still. I'd buy up all the free agency years because if he actually is healthy this year and plays well, he costs so much more in both arbitration and if you decide you want to extend beyond the arbitration years.
It's way more cost effective, but who says that Mondesi would want to do this? I mean, you can. It sounds great for potentially the Royals to take some risk there and lock somebody up. Kind of what we've seen a lot from the White Sox here recently too. There's how many young guys for the White Sox, Cody, are locked up till 2024, 2025, for example. But my only thing is for Mondesi, if I'm him, would I even want to do that? If you feel like your only thing that's been holding you back at all has been a little bit of your health, but you clearly believe in yourself going forward. And you know what, if you have a full season this year and you play at a high level, you know what your value is, what that number could be going forward. You're shortchanging yourself quite a bit financially as well. Yes, there's risk involved. You're betting on yourself. But I think when you look at him and where people project him to be going forward, I think he's leaving a lot of money on the table if he did that. So it sounds good for the Royals. I don't know if I would want to do it if I'm Mondesi.
Kind of, but he would still have the opportunity to hit a big contract if he gives up 2 years. He's 24 now. 3 years after this, he'll be 24 a majority of this season, which means he'll be 27 a majority of the time. That's a pretty good time to hit free agency. Okay, that's not like the worst time in baseball to be hitting free agent markets, but 29's not all that bad either. You can still make a pretty good contract at that rate, and you guarantee yourself some financial stability. I know that you're saying, why would he do it? There's no real reason necessarily, other than the fact
Who knows? Bet on yourself. You want the money earlier. Some guys, depending on their individual situation, are they in need of the money?
He grew up the son of a professional Major League Baseball player, so
even less
now,
reason.
Who had some legal difficulty, let's say, the last couple of years. But still, I mean, you know, so he doesn't necessarily have to have to be going for it. But this would actually be, this is the age in which teams are usually doing this. 22, 23, 24. This is when the teams have been buying up, because Mondesi, you have to negotiate with him. Every year going forward after this season, if you allow it to get to that rate, like he plays well this season, plays in 140 games and put up some of the numbers I think he's capable of putting up, it just gets harder every year. At a premium position in Major League Baseball, I know I'm just telling you I don't think he'll be ready for the start of the season, but I'd still seriously put the risk in. I'd take a shot on Mondesi, and I know maybe he doesn't want to do it, but I'd put a number in front of him now that at least makes him consider it. Because it might only be $50 million now. And, the Royals can say you're $60 million. And the Royals might say, oh, that's a lot of risk. In baseball, it's not. Even if you're a small market team, you have to take $60 million risks because you're never going to pay a guy $200 million. You're never going to pay a guy $180 million. So, fine.
Is he your best bet to take that risk on if you look at the organization
right now?
So, yes. And the answer is yes. So, because if you're going to do it with somebody, I agree. He would be the one where you're willing to take that $60-plus million gamble.
Because Singer's not going to sign it, right?
Right, exactly. Like, so, no, he's the one that would qualify. I do want to see, maybe it's something you do a couple months into the season, even, for example. I do want to see, even though I'm telling you I'm not concerned that he's going to miss the start of the season, because I don't think that's going to happen yet. I'm not there yet. I want to see what the next 2 weeks or so of spring bring for him. But that doesn't mean I also still don't want to see a couple months in the season. I just want to see, can he? I don't think you want to get in a situation where he has another setback on the shoulder, where he plays a month or two in the season and has another shoulder injury. Because if he has that again, then it really impacts your thought process on what his long-term health can be within the organization. So I'm fine with doing it before the season's over, but I wouldn't mind seeing a couple months into this thing, even if the price went up just a little bit. I'm not saying you got to wait for the full year. I need to see a full year of Mondesi. But I wouldn't hurt to see a couple months.
They don't owe anybody money. Like, they don't owe any money to anybody. Like, they do right now because they still owe Ian Kennedy and Danny Duffy. In 2 years, they won't owe it. By the time that Mondesi contract actually comes into effect, they don't owe anybody. They don't owe Perez way past this year. They have, $40 million in cap commitments next season. That's it. The following year, the only people they have under contract are Whit Merrifield. That's the whole list for like money they actually owe people for like further down the road. Now they have other guys that they have under contract like Hunter Dozier, but they don't know his number yet because of arbitration years. Scott Barlow would be under arbitration.
We don't know what they would do with Soler, Keller,
right? There's some guys that they're going to have to give some money to, but if they're going to, they should do it the White Sox way again. Mondesi is a perfect example of that.
A perfect example, I think, in baseball yesterday happened. A perfect example of what maybe the future should be, at least when it comes to the television product. And we've talked at great length about baseball and the need for some change in other areas. With postseason, maybe people didn't want to see some of the changes in the format, but baseball has been slower than all the other leagues to adapt in terms of making the product maybe more watchable at times. And yesterday during spring training, maybe you weren't watching it live, but you probably saw it if you're on social media at all. It was out there, and it was really cool involving the Cubs and the Angels in the spring training game, and ESPN had a couple players mic'd up, specifically Anthony Rizzo, mic'd up at the plate while he was in the dugout, and it really enhanced the broadcast as a whole. And in fact, here's just what it sounded like, where Rizzo, he's at the plate, and he calls his shot.
I'm feeling a heater right here because I've only seen one today from him.
I'm going to go to here. No, I'm not. Wow, that's good math.
Nice work. I'm glad the math kicked in at some point.
You did analysis and play-by-play, and you hit there.
Fastball, and that was at your, that's at your chest.
That's why I choke up there to get to those pitches.
And in case you can't understand in that clip, he is standing, mic'd up at the plate, says, I wonder how many of the heater, I've only seen one all day. Then he gets a fastball, knocks a hard hit single, and is standing on first base. That's amazing viewership. And that wasn't the only thing Rizzo did in that game. Rizzo was singing. Rizzo was taking shots at Serna's Astros, right? He was doing multiple things across the spectrum that should absolutely get credit. This was him, by the way. He was standing at the plate, joking again that maybe this time he wouldn't know what was coming.
I'm doing some math in my head. What he's going to throw?
What do you got?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. Someone bang for me.
Yeah, that's
nice
a clear shot,
shot right
at the Astros,
right? And referencing, of course, banging on the trash cans.
And that audio courtesy of ESPN, but seriously, cold.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun. We've seen it in the All-Star game when the guys are in the outfield and they have them mic'd up and they're interacting with Joe Buck, for example. And I think people at the time, the last couple of years when we've seen that, people have really liked it. Yeah, he was also singing a Selena Gomez song in the dugout. That kind of stuff is great. We know in other sports, guys are mic'd up. I'm all about this. I just think specifically at the plate probably isn't as realistic, as fun as that sounds. I think the dugout stuff and the outfield stuff would be great. I don't know if there would be players on every team or even a player on every team that would be nearly as good as what we heard yet. Like, I think yesterday was a great example, but also might be close to as good as it's going to get in terms of somebody calling their shot, essentially. I don't think you're going to see that when someone's at the plate. Are you going to really have a player talking and interacting? And I know it doesn't have to be a live stream like that was, but even later in the game, are players going to agree to be mic'd up to where you're using audio? If they even if they say anything at the plate, how often is there going to be a conversation at the plate anyway? I know when you first go up to the batter's box, the catcher might say, you might say something to the catcher or whatever it may be. I just don't know how much you're actually under your breath saying, okay, this is going to be a fastball. Like, you're not going to say that. So you're not going to have the on the plate stuff. You might have the outfield interaction, which I'm all about, but I don't know if it's going to be as good as what we even just heard and saw yesterday.
You're wrong. The more you do it, the better it gets.
You think guys at the plate are going to be talking in the middle of the playoff game?
Employ this immediately, exactly the way the NFL does it. Don't go to a live feed. Record it all. Post highlights of someone talking trash after, and then put together larger form mic'd ups that can be put into entertaining things. The thing you don't appreciate probably about baseball and why it would work in a mic'd up is there is a lot of downtime. Not everybody's a comedian. Not everybody's funny. You're not going to enjoy the cuts from every single person. but there are a lot of personalities on a baseball team. And when you're talking about like going up to the plate, no, I don't think they're always going to stand up there and whisper in his breath, like, all right, fastball, curveball. He's going to throw the slider here. Okay, I think it's going to be the fastball. But if you put those mics on players and they know it, I think you think like, football players just talk more. They talk more because they know they're mic'd up. Like, they talk more anyone because that's a trash-talking sport, generally speaking. But a lot of that stuff happens between batter and catcher, between batter and pitcher, between first baseman and hitter. And sometimes it's not all trash talk. Sometimes it's friendly. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes they're talking about things that are between the two. I think you can open up baseball to actually, like,
there's a difference.
Nobody
though.
Knows who these people are. You can know who they are if you actually get to, like, Tim Anderson is a great example of how phenomenal would he be, because occasionally he'd stand on that mic'd up and, you know, and he'd be like, I'm going to knock this out. And for the one time he got it right, like, if they didn't show us the 10 times he got it wrong, and for the one time Soler said, you know, actually hit it, say that, and said, oh, adios, right? Goodbye. And he knew it. Tim Anderson, whoever, like, they don't have to call it before. The second they call it after, that's good stuff. It's entertaining to watch. It's personality.
I'm good with the post-game stuff. The same reason why I love NFL films and the post-Super Bowl stuff and the mic'd up we heard from the Chiefs players after the AFC title game winner that was happening during the game post stuff. If that's what you're talking about, I'm for it. But the idea, when I'm thinking of mic'd up, it's going
to
be in-game stuff like we see on Monday Night Football.
99.9%
of the time, that stuff is worthless and terrible. So the stuff that's great is the post stuff where it's completely edited and it tells the story of the game within the mic'd up. I'm all about that. If they can find a way to do that with baseball, sign me up for that. But the idea where, oh, let's go back to what happened in the third inning, if it's anything like what we see in the NFL where let's go back to what happened in the first quarter and it's Sam Darnold or anybody else mic'd up and you're like, oh, that was worthless. It's Russell Wilson saying, hey, good job, guys. We're going to go march down the field. Like, that's not exciting. That's terrible. It seems scripted and it's not good. How many times have you watched Monday Night Football and heard someone mic'd up in the game and they cut back to it and you're like, wow, that was interesting? No, it's crap most of the time. The mic'd up stuff is worthless a lot of time in game. The post stuff, NFL films, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, that is the better stuff, but I'll take the in-game stuff because at least you say, let's go to Russell Wilson mic'd up. Like, you at least offer some.
Like, I don't want to hear someone over and over, like Russ is the worst example, where he's
baseball,
like, good job, guys, we're gonna march down. It just seemed cheesy. It was terrible. It was pointless.
I am stunned that this is your side, considering the fact that you are like, I get goosebumps over
videos.
I just told you
the post game stuff that makes sense and that is good. But on Monday Night Football, we've all watched it. Well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When they cut back to a drive, three drives before that, and it's not any good most of the time because the NFL, with the exception of Sam Darnold saying he saw ghosts, most of it's crap.
All right, Russell Wilson's a poor example because he's just a cheesy ass dude.
He's a good example for me saying, well, it's not good. He's a bad example for the best of it because he's the worst on the mic'd up stuff.
Yeah, he's not particularly good in those.
I mean, but I would expect that, if they did it in the regular season, baseball players are going to be super buttoned up because they go out of their way not to show personality in baseball. But God forbid someone happened to be watching a baseball game and they actually remember the player's name because of something like that. Like, it's about baseball putting their players in position to succeed outside of the game as well as succeeding in the game. And when people who aren't diehard baseball fans, passive fans who occasionally watch a game, have no idea who your stars are, it's an issue and you have to find a way to make people know who the big players in your game are. And that's a way that I think could help.
And baseball doesn't have the same social media presence those other sports do to benefit them that way. Like, all the other sports are better at that. Baseball is stupid because they lock down highlights and shut down accounts.
Yes.
Well, just send it from the official Major League Baseball account or the official team accounts. Like, it's just silly that somehow they were like holding these people hostage for all of these years in the way that they do highlight packages. And instead they could make their sport accessible. This is incredible accessibility. And we've seen it multiple years in a row. They're doing the All-Star game. Yep. Guy's like, not getting to that one. And he's running to the corner after a ball. Like, I think we put too much pressure on, like, it's just too much thinking, man. He's out there and there's a ball. Like, in the playoffs, is it really going to work? No, probably not. Because there is a hyper level of focus. Baseball is a long sport. And they get bored, and they talk to each other, and they mill, and they do fun stuff and say fun things on the field to each other because it's a game full of time. I actually think it might be better than mic'd up football stuff because in football, the only thing you have to do is that. It eats up every second. I got 30 seconds to tell you to play. In baseball, if I'm a player, I might not do something for like 30 minutes. Like, a ball may never come to me the outfield. It might take me a couple times to the order to get to the plate. Now, that's counting on personality. You're right. And there's going to be a limited amount. You're going to have to show certain guys. Trout's not going to be great for it. He's going to be the Russell Wilson of this scenario. You're going to want him to be better, and he's not. But I do think that it can be more beneficial over the course of it.
Last minute.
Browns running back Kareem Hunt was found to have marijuana in his car when he was pulled over for speeding in January, but wasn't arrested at the time, and he will not be charged. The Rocky River Police Department confirmed to the Akron Beacon Journal today. Browns have indicated that they plan to tender Hunt as a restricted free agent and bring him back for the 2020 season.
Question is what tender and if anybody else would take a shot on him. They can do a first, second, or third.
Yeah.
That's fine. They didn't charge him. Like, good. Great. Finally. Like,
yeah.
Let's not charge people for dumb stuff.
I think that's how it was trending based on the officer's reaction and how it handled the situation. And that's good, I think, on all sides. What are the Browns going to do? I would think you'd have to lean more on the third round tender more than anything else is what it would be.
Well, the higher tender you put on, the more likely you are to get him back. You don't have to pay him more.
Right.
So
but I'm just saying, like,
Browns
another
are serious about keeping him, put a first round tender on him.
Yeah, but I don't. Do you really think he's that crucial of a player for you? I don't think he's worth a first round tender. If I'm another team, I'm certainly not giving that up either. And I don't. If I'm the Browns, I don't think I desperately need him so badly. I'm worried about losing him. And that, man, we got to put a first round tender on him.
It depends on how deep you think the running back class is. If you actually want to keep him highest tender possible, I think it's what the Chargers will do with Eckler.
Oh.
They'll put a higher tender on him than it makes
sense.
Cost permitted.
It makes way more sense on Eckler.
I mean, Kareem Hunt is a really, really talented player, but I don't think anybody is going. I mean, third round is a high asking price for a player that's had so many off-the-field issues, even though he's been a top five running back in the NFL. This is an incredible running back draft class. Why would you burn a third-round pick for a player like Kareem Hunt?
I wouldn't. And for Kareem Hunt's point, this is the best time for the Browns to have him because this is contract year stuff. If he's not going to be charged, it means he's not going to be suspended by the NFL, which means you get him for a full season. And we still think he's their best running back. It's a good year to actually have Kareem Hunt if you're the Browns. I think he could put up big numbers. Fantasy sleeper, sir. I'm doing your job for you.
I mean, he was impactful in the passing game last year for the Browns when he got back and was reinstated. The offense looked better. I'm not saying that at all.
Nick Chubb is really, really good. He's not going to take carries away from Nick Chubb.
Fine. But Chubb will get hurt, maybe. I don't know. He's a sleeper, I tell you.
See how Kevin Stefanski might try to use Kareem Hunt if he's still in a Cleveland Brown uniform. Coming up next in the 11 o'clock hour on Cody and Gold, we'll have our 6-10 combine results. The Wonderlic is up today, and just move the game already. Just do it.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.